Good morning. Just praise the Lord to have this opportunity to come and share with you good folks. I enjoyed that number choir, and I can see why you got this young lady over here on the piano. And I told her she's only 16, been playing for 3 years. That's what I call using your talents for the Lord. And that's what he wants, and that's what we should do, as we desire to do his will in our lives. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Reverend Hughes for giving me the time to come and share with you what God is doing with the distribution of his word, not only in Chesapeake, the state of Virginia, but all across the world. We have over 124 countries that we are in now, that we can place God's word in, that God can speak to those his word. And it's an honor and a privilege for me to be a part. I'd like for you, for a moment, to turn your attention to the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And I'd like to read the 6th through the 12th verses. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the understanding of his word. As you know, a Gideon is a child of the Lord. We are an extended arm of the church. We are, in a sense, home missionaries in our own country. And then we are professional and businessmen distributing God's word right here. There are some 4,000 copies of God's word placed right here in Chesapeake this year. And we praise God for this, because God will speak to the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls that read and understand his word, if they listen. You may think that the main purpose of the Gideons is the placement of God's word, but it's not. The main purpose of Gideons International is the winning of souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, getting them to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The main way we do this is through the placement of his word and personal testimonies. But God does the work. We just do some of the legwork. I'd like for you to think for a few minutes of the World Series. You know, we've just come through another rather hectic World Series. If you'll think back to a couple of years ago when the Yankees won, and if you remember in the seventh game, in the ninth inning, the score was tied. And there were three balls and two strikes on Mr. Chambliss, and he was at the bat. One more ball, it'd be a third strike, and it'd go into extra innings. And as the ball came down the plate, he smacked it clean over the fence. And you remember how those Yankee fans just jumped all over him and all over the stadium. Before he could get around second base, they had climbed over those barriers. But think, if you would, for a minute, if the ball had not gone over the fence, but had hit the fence. And as the ball hit the fence, Chambliss was running around that field. And as he rounded third base and the ball was coming in from the outfield, the coach standing behind the plate said, slide this away, you know, motioning to him. And the catcher got the ball in him. Umpire said, save. Well, here come the fans again. Just jumping all over the field and getting ready to tear up everything. But the catcher, he calmly stands up, throws the ball down to first base. What do you think happens? The umpire says, out. He missed first base. And he was out. He could not make it home safely. It's the same way in the Christian world. If you miss first base, you can never make it home safe. Jim Catt of the Minnesota Twins. Now, I don't know if he's with the Minnesota Twins now or not, but when he was with the Minnesota Twins, he had been running the bases of life. He was on the pinnacle of success, a baseball player, making hundreds of thousands of dollars. He walks out on the field and people just shout and scream. But he said he had run all his life, participated in church and Sunday school, thought he was a pretty good fellow. But something was missing. He never touched first base. He says we may run as fast as we can, obey all the signals from the coach, do all the things right around our trip around the bases, but if we miss first base, we never reach home safely. God's word says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. We can't earn it. It's a gift. But we've got to accept that gift. We've got to hit first base. And if we hit first base, we can make it home safe. Jim Catt also says, if you want a thrilling, abundant life, put your faith in him. Make him the Lord of your life. You know, I was reading a newspaper about 8 months ago, and I sort of just flipped through the newspaper looking for the funnies and a few other little things, and as I came across some big, bold print, it said, the most thrilling thing. Now, that caught my eye. I wanted to know what the most thrilling thing was. I kind of thought I knew, but I thought I'd better find out. It was a story of Jerry Lucas, basketball player. He'd been on TV, probably the Mike Douglas show, and whoever knows what other talk shows, making hundreds of thousands of dollars. That wasn't the most thrilling thing. He runs out on a basketball floor and people just yell and scream, signs autographs. That wasn't the most thrilling thing. He said he had everything I could think of. The most thrilling thing for him was when he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That was the most thrilling thing for him. And I was pleased, because that was the most thrilling thing for me too. And it was pleasing to hear Willie Stargell and Tim Foley give credit to the Lord when they were interviewed right after winning the World Series. Tim Foley says, you believe in miracles? You don't believe in miracles? Look, folks, it's on national TV. Here's a miracle. Gave the Lord the credit. That's where it belongs. Because God is the one that's doing it. Jim Catt accepted the Lord when he was in a hotel room. He cut the light on, and there was God's word in a motel room. And God spoke to him. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Gideon's International also gives the servicemen a copy of God's word for their own personal use. Now, I've been talking about the large Bible that's placed in the hotels and the motels and in the doctors and dentist offices. But now I'd like to share with you a testimony of a small copy of God's word, the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. You know, when the men go into the induction centers, they have to leave all of their civilian things behind. And they're given a great big bag. And I'm not sure how they do it now, but they used to. They just take that bag and they'd just walk down and a private or a sergeant or something would be throwing skivvies and shoes and hats and fatigues. They didn't really care what size it was, just so it was a pair. Somewhere in that induction line, there's Gideon, giving out copies of God's word to those who would take it. They take it and down the bag it goes. Many times, when these young men get alone, get overseas, they happen to think, I've got a copy of God's word. God may urge them, may speak to their hearts. Read that testament. There was a young man, his name was Thomas Conkle. He went into the armed forces and he went to Vietnam. And while he was in Vietnam, he gave his life for his country. He gave his life for his country on December the 4th, 1968. His mother got word back that Tommy had given his life for his country and his personal effects came home. There weren't many. And she began to go through his personal effects. And as she went through his personal effects, she came across this little testament. She noticed that it was kind of rumpled. The pages had been dog-eared. It appeared that Tommy had been reading the word. Sure he had. Absolutely. As she got to the back page, there he had signed my decision to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Tommy's name and the date, October the 23rd, 1968. Now, can you imagine? Peace and the joy and the contentment that that mother felt. How God blessed her knowing that her son, he was a Christian for 41 days, but she knew it because she didn't. That mother felt how God blessed her knowing that her son was with him. He was a Christian for 41 days, but she knew it. Because she did not know it until she read that. Even though she had taken him to Sunday school and church all his life, she felt that he had not accepted Christ. A few Sundays ago, I shared this testimony in a church in Emporia, near where I live. And I had the opportunity the next week to speak again in Emporia, and when I got through, it was only about 10:15. So this church that I had spoken at the Sunday before, I decided I'd go back for Sunday school and for worship service. And as I did, I got there and we got through Sunday school, and after Sunday school, this young lady came and sat down beside me. She said, I wasn't here last Sunday, but the people told me about the testimony of that little service testimony. And tears began to stream down her face. Her voice got a little shaky. She said, I lost a son. My only son, 17 years old, an automobile accident. And I could not go into his room. My husband could not go into his room. I asked him to go up and get me a chair. A few minutes later, I heard the lawnmower, and I looked, and he was outside cutting grass. She said, God spoke to me and said, go upstairs. She says she began to pray. She began to cry. And as she walked the stairs, crying and praying, she found the courage to go into his room. She also did not have the assurance that David was with the Lord. And she went into the room, and there was his camping gear, his tents. And she began to look through his gear, and there was a little testament. These testaments are given to the school children in the fifth grade every year. She opened that testament, and on the front page, David had written, I love the Lord. And that was all she could tell me for a few minutes. But she had found that peace and understanding, that comfort of knowing that David was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had accepted Christ. And now she knew it. Many times, a child will accept the Lord Jesus Christ through the placement of his word. And this little testament may follow mother or father, wherever they may be. Dad comes in from work. In the middle of his plate, there's that little testament. He pushes it aside and eats. He goes to sit down in his best chair, and right on top of his newspaper, there's that little testament. He goes in the bathroom. There's that little testament. And finally, out of desperation, he says, "Why is this book following me around?" And his little girl comes up to him and says, "Daddy, I'd like for you to read it. I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and I'd like for you to read it." And families have been known to be saved through God speaking to these hearts and minds, and they're accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I understand you had a young man visiting a couple weeks ago who had accepted Jesus Christ in a hotel room, ready to take his life. But God asked him to read that book, and he accepted Christ. It's thrilling to me when people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that it's thrilling to you, because that is the most thrilling thing, without a doubt. It is thrilling beyond belief. You may be aware that there is a memorial Bible plan whereby you can leave copies of God's Word in memory of a loved one or in honor of a loved one. You've got a grandson or granddaughter or a loved one, you say, well, they've got everything. I don't know what to give them. You could leave copies of God's Word in their honor while they're still here. If someone goes to be with the Lord, you can place copies of God's Word in their memory. That's a thrilling experience for the family. I have shared in that. My wife went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. Over 540 copies of God's Word were placed in her memory. And at the very next meeting, a young man took out his calculator. And he said, "This is a testimony to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These 540 copies of God's Word placed in her memory will have the opportunity of reaching over 1 million people. God will have the opportunity to speak to that many hearts in the hotels and the motels." I had the privilege recently of meeting a young man at our rally who was saved in Sydney, Australia. God told him, "Mike, open that desk drawer." Mike said, "Well, Lord, all right, I'll open the desk drawer." He opened the desk drawer and he said, "There was the Bible." He said, well, Lord, I'm a good man. I know there's something missing in my life, but, I'm familiar with the Bible. But he said, "I guess the Lord wanted me to read it." But he did what God asked him to do. He obeyed. When he opened that Bible, he found the passage in Luke of the prodigal son. And God spoke to his heart and brought him under conviction. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior in Sydney, Australia. And now he lives in Chatham, Virginia. So it's great to meet these who you can see and know that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In closing, I'd like to ask three things. Christians covet the prayers of other Christians. And we desire that you would pray for us, that the doors that are open would remain open. The doors that are closed, that somehow we could get those doors open, that we can get God's Word into the hands of school children, to some of the offices, whichever door may be closed, that it might be opened and stay open, that God can work through His Word. Secondly, if you'd like to contribute to the program, the pastor will tell you how you can do this. And I can assure you of one fact. Every penny will be used to buy Scripture. Every penny. And I praise God for that. It's the only organization I know of that has been blessed in such a way that everything that people give does what you want it to do. And when you give to purchase Scripture, every penny, without exception, goes to buy Scripture. And I praise God for that. And lastly, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to come. Join with this group. Don't say you don't have time. That's what I said. But the Lord urged me. And I said, okay, Lord, if you'll give me the time, I'll try to go and I'll try to use it. And He gave it to me. And if you ladies can get your husbands interested and get them to join this organization, then you can also become, because we have an auxiliary. And the ladies distribute God's word to the nurses. And if you've ever been in a hospital and you've had a Christian nurse come around, it's a real joy to have someone who knows the Lord administering and helping you while you're in the hospital. And this is what they do, besides praying. So there's something that everybody can do. And whatever the Lord leads you to do, you can do it. There is a place. We're now placing over 1 million copies of God's Word every 17 days. It took us 26 years to place the first million. And just a couple months ago, President Carter got the 200 millionth copy. And we praise God that we're able to place His Word. I'd like for you to also remember one last word, faith. There's five letters in the word faith. Forsaking all, I take Him. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, and you'd like to come and share it with us, the pastor's going to come forward and he's going to receive you. If you want to come and rededicate your life, come and share that with your pastor. If you'd like to come and join with this congregation, be a part of this part of God's work, come forward and tell the pastor. He wants you to come. He wants you to be busy about God's work. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and He's spoken to your heart this morning, come. Share it with the pastor. We're going to sing hymn 226. Come to the Savior now. And as we sing, the pastor comes forward. I'm going to ask you to come and share with your pastor anything that God has laid on your heart.
God has spoken to many hearts this morning, I'm certain. And we need to make decisions on His voice to us. We thank Dr. Morris for this very challenging personal testimony which he has given us. We will remember it, and the Holy Spirit will use it. Following the service, we always give opportunity for people to present an offering or a gift. We do not compel anyone to give, but we invite you to share. There will be ushers with offering plates at the various doors as you leave the service. And we invite you to give as much as you can. You feel like you can share in the distribution of the Word of God around the world. You may write a check or in any way that you desire to give this offering. And God will bless your gift. So let us pray about this as we leave the service and as we go. And remember our fellowship immediately following and our service tonight with Dr. Peter Lee. We will want to come back and share in this great service with this great missionary who has just gotten back from China. Let us bow for our closing prayer. Our Father, for thy presence we give thanks. For thy power indeed we marvel. For hearts that respond and hearts that are touched. We pray today that each heart that has been touched in some special way will respond to God's call. We pray your blessing now upon the gifts we present and the offering we bring, that it may be worthy of the name of our Lord Jesus, because we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.